Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you, and again we send greetings to our friends everywhere. When Dr. Robert Laidlaw, Chief of Psychiatry at Roosevelt Hospital in New York City, was asked, "Does a healing power exist?" he replied, "I believe we can answer with an unconditional yes." More and more, the medical profession is becoming aware of God's power to heal. Although the American Medical Association takes the position that all reported cures are the result of improper diagnosis, or the power of suggestion, or what is termed spontaneous remission, every honest physician will admit that he is only an assistant to aid the great physician, and in the final analysis, God must do the healing. The director of a large Chicago hospital recently admitted, "As a doctor, I have seen recoveries after prayer and healing services that defy all present scientific knowledge." Thus, friends, attempts to deny that God heals today are actually attempts at denying God Himself, denying the supernatural. Well, the churches, too, are awakening to the responsibility of praying for the sick. Many denominations are now giving special attention to the sick and suffering in their congregations by conducting services just to pray for those who desire healing. Dr. Nelson Pierce of the Christian Church said recently, quote, "For hundreds of years, the church was the healing agency. Then the doctors took over healing, and now the doctors are turning it back to the church." The Apostle James writes, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And as a result, we read, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Now there are some who would claim this formula for healing is not for today. Dr. R. A. Torrey, in his book Divine Healing, comments, "It is said by some that the Epistle of James was written to Jewish believers, and therefore it does not apply to Gentile believers. But, says Torrey, God in His Word very definitely tells us that what applies to Jewish believers applies to Gentile believers." Contends Dr. Torrey, "This splitting up of the New Testament, giving one part to Gentile Christians and another part to Jewish Christians, has absolutely no warrant in the Word of God. In fact, is against its plain teaching." Dr. Torrey, an associate of Moody and long regarded as an outstanding fundamentalist, declares, quote, "There are some who would take away from us Gentiles pretty much of all the New Testament, except the latter epistles of Paul. But they're writing a hobby for which there's no warrant whatever in the Bible itself. They are not rightly dividing the Word," says Torrey. "In fact, they're mutilating the Word and stealing from the greater part of God's children what really belongs to them." Now can I hear you say amen? Yes, we believe, friends, this prescription for healing here in the book of James is for the church today. Our first reason would be because it is the elders of the church who are to be called to pray in time of sickness, not the rabbis nor the rulers of the synagogues. In the second place, we would observe that the Apostle James links prayer for the sick to the last days and the coming of the Lord. You'll find at least four times in this chapter are to be found admonitions related to the return of Christ. In verse 7, James writes, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Again in verse 8, we read, "For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Verse 9, "Behold, the judge standeth before the door." And again, James writes of those who have heaped treasure together for the last days. Thus, beloved, we're not only convinced that these are the last days, that Jesus is soon to come, but that healing by God's power is for us today. We'd also like to comment on this passage here in James suggesting not only that the elders be called to pray for the sick, but that they anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, some would wonder, what can oil do? Dr. W.B. Riley suggests, the oil here is the symbol of the Holy Ghost and is applied as such. In other words, friends, every Christian who desires healing must recognize that the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to the believer, must do the work of healing and restoring back to health and strength. The impression is sometimes conveyed that man has healing power, but this is not true. Some men are given gifts of healings, yes. 1 Corinthians 12:28. But no man has the power to heal in himself. We recall the occasion when Peter and John said to the lame man who sat daily at the gate of the temple, "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And the man walked, and all the people marveled. And Peter spoke to the people, saying, "Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" I'm afraid there are many who have the mistaken idea that the minister or evangelist has healing power, and thus, looking to men, they are never healed. The Bible says, "Cursed is the man who trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm." You see, it's a false hope, a fatal hope, to look to man for healing. As Dr. Torrey says, the Holy Spirit is the one who does the healing, if it is really divine healing. Thus, anointing with oil is representative of the work of the Holy Spirit to bring recuperation and healing to the body. Now, briefly, friends, may we suggest 6 things to do should you suddenly become afflicted. First of all, search your own heart. Search the Word of God to discover any apparent reason for your affliction. Even as the psalmist prayed, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." Dr. Charles A. Blanchard, in his book, Getting Things from God, relates how his wife was grievously sick. Her illness continued, although many prayers were offered for her recovery. At last it was decided that an operation would become necessary. But Dr. Blanchard relates how the Holy Spirit began to deal with his heart about a certain coldness and neglect, which he recognized at once as sin. Earnestly he confessed his fault to God, and there came a change for the better. His wife soon recovered without an operation. Now, secondly, we're told to pray. Concerning Asa in the Bible, we read, "In his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians," and we read, "he died." Now, Asa's sin was not that he counseled with doctors, but that he did not look first to the Lord. How many today seek the help of doctors and medicine without first praying about their sickness? Friends, the very first thing we ought to do is to pray. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." Thirdly, we need to confess our sins to God and our faults to one another. We must remember that prayer goes unheard when there is unconfessed sin and wrongs not righted. The psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Also, the Bible tells us we ought to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. I remember visiting with a pastor in a certain home where the mother lay ill with a swelling in her body. I heard her confess to her preacher how she had talked about him behind his back and then ask forgiveness. And after we had prayer together for this sister, I saw her stand upon her feet made completely whole, without a recurrence of this affliction. Beloved, a simple matter of asking forgiveness of those whom we may have wronged or spoken against can oftentimes bring about our healing. Fourthly, we should call the elders of the church, says James. One dear lady told her pastor, "If the time ever comes when I am sick and the doctors can't help me, when medicine doesn't do any good, I'm going to call on you and the church to pray for me." Now, to many, the Lord is a last resort when he should be our first consideration. By calling men of God to pray for us, there is power with God. "For two on earth agreeing as touching anything they may ask, it shall be done," said Jesus. Fifthly, we must believe. Dr. H. A. Ironside once declared, "No instructed Christian can help acknowledging the power of the Lord to heal the body as well as to save the soul. God can heal. God has healed. God does heal. Beloved, believe it. No case is too hard for God. No disease incurable. The psalmist says, He healeth all thy diseases. Now our attitude should be one of believing God's word. After we have searched our hearts and confessed and forsaken any known sin and called upon others to pray for us, we must believe. Even as the Lord Jesus himself declared, Only believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Finally, we are to commit. Declares the psalmist, Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. To worry and fret and doubt that the Lord will heal us is exactly the opposite of faith. James says, For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Rather, let us claim the promises of God in his word. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Hallelujah. I love that promise. And if we will just relax, commit ourselves to the Lord and his loving care, we don't have a worry in the world. He will look out for us. He will take care of us. That is, if we will truly commit our ways unto him. Well, beloved, we would encourage you today to do these 6 things if afflicted.
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a free audio of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the Internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.